Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. It is one of your hosts, Mike, and I am here with a very special guest, someone I got to meet on my trip to Complex Con. Has a really cool store, two things I'm interested in, skate and sneakers, and I got to introduce you to the homie, one of the partners at Ruckus, and that is going to be Devin Chris. What's going on, Devin? How you doing, brother?
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's going good, man. I'm glad to have you on. I'm glad we got to meet. If you guys hadn't seen any clips from Complex Con or haven't visited any Ruckus's social pages, they have, I have to say, you guys have one of the coolest booths out there.
I appreciate that. It was a lot of work. I really appreciate the love.
Yeah, man. It was one of those things that's like, it was something like refreshing, but at the same time nostalgic. I mean, we'll talk about what it all came from, what you guys were promoting and showing off. But, you know, first thing we like to ask on the show, Devin, is we do a rocking and copping segment. And so, What have you been rocking lately? What's the shoe you've been going to?
Dude, you're going to laugh. I'm actually the one I've been wearing the most. I'm wearing today. I'm going to put them on the camera. But, so it's the, the reimagined just white cement threes.
Yeah.
I skated them for like 2 or 3 weeks. So they're kind of like tore up.
Oh, the elephant print just hanging off the side.
Like, usually I don't like wearing the shoes I skate, but I didn't like tear these all the way up. And I was looking at them and I was like, I kind of like how these look a little roughed up. So I've been like daily drivers when I know I'm going to be like moving boxes or like kicking stuff around. I wear these. Yeah. What else? Oh, the that first SB95 they did. I think it was like
Desert
Cactus
Rose?
Flower.
Cactus Flower. Cactus, that's what it is. I don't know. Yeah, there you go.
That colorway, and then what else? And then I have a pair of the colorway was called it was the New Balance 480, but they gave us to us at like a sales summit. It was called the Long Beach. It looks like it's just brown and white, but
I think I've seen that one. Okay,
no too much heat on the daily driver. I did just bust out the this week. I don't wear them often, but the metallic fives from this year.
That was a big one this year, man. I was so surprised because back in, 2016? I remember getting mine, I swear, months later. This time, they went like hotcakes, bro.
Yeah, they were good. That was the first, I'm not the biggest fan of fives, generally, or black shoes. I'm like the most guilty of always wearing all white shoes. It's like, but I don't even know why I do this because in 3 days, they're ruined. But I just like
it. It's just that crispy white shoe just looks good, you know?
Mm-hmm. Those 48 hours when they're clean, it's hard to beat them, but after that. What I really like about the metallic fives is, like, each panel, I think it's like a 3M piping, like, on the edges. It, like, breaks it up just enough for me where I'm like, okay, these are sick.
It looks nice, and I thought it was going to be easy just to grab a pair. Like, oh, I'll wait, I'll be able to grab a pair. I was completely wrong, so, hopefully they'll restock around Christmas. I'll try then, so.
Yeah.
Now, what you think about adding to the collection? Any shoe you're thinking about buying? Anything that's piqued your interest?
Let's see. Well, the 480 Mallard. Whenever we can there get my go. Size in, I don't even have a pair yet.
That's so crazy.
It's a whole story. But what else? The Nardwar SB, super cool. I'm just a Nardwar fan, so I think those are fun. I'm trying to think what else is coming out this year before the end of the year. I think it's so hard. There's like so many releases that it all gets like blurred.
Oh, dude, it's so much, and it's like they did the sneaker of the year while we were at Complex. Kind of like, dude, there's 100 releases dropping in the next 2 months. I can't even keep up with it.
I know Nice Kicks does theirs though, like at the beginning of the year, which is nice. Like gives a chance for all of them to happen.
Wrap up.
Oh wait, I know which one. Honestly, I don't know how I forgot this. The one I've been rocking honestly the most is Phil's Piggy Runner too. The pink ones.
I still need that one. Phil, if you're listening, if you got a spare 10 floating around, I'll pay you for it. I just need it. Such a great shoe.
It is. It's good. And that's honestly the shoe I get the most compliments on when I wear it.
Yeah?
That suede. Pink, it's just like it breaks up nice the way the materials are paneled and stuff. That was sick.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, man. It's, I love it. You have a great kind of across-the-board rotation, like a little bit of everything, no specific brands. That's, I think that's how it should be, but that's awesome, man. And, I mean, the 480, the Mallard, I know that's something we want to talk about. I got to see them when you guys had a couple pairs at ComplexCon. Absolutely amazing shoe. And, again, I kind of alluded to it earlier when we tied in the booth with the Mallard Duck, if you guys didn't realize that. They did a cool, like, duck hunt, duck camo skateboard decks as well. And that's your second New Balance you guys will be working on, right?
Yes. So it's the second, our second project with them. We did a like Voodoo Doll inspired 440. So that was it came out at the end of 23.
Yeah.
Just to keep the record straight, I had to tell someone. I told someone this. I think 2 days ago. But that shoe, we had got it like approved, or they were down, and then we ran into a bunch of production issues because their factories in Asia like went through like a second COVID lockdown. And then I don't know if y'all, if you remember, or people listening remember, but around that time the Long Beach port got super backed up. Like I don't remember if you remember seeing pictures of all the
pictures of all this stuff just sitting in the water, just waiting for people to come get it.
That shoe was on there whenever all this happened. So like in the midst of all that, we like made the shoe, got samples, planned it, and then. In the our shoe was supposed to come out, I think it came out December of 23. I think it was supposed to come out like November of 22.
Yeah, yeah.
But then in that meantime, Zion put out the Voodoo Jordan 1 Low.
And I was like, dude, oh, this,
like we thought we had the original idea and then we hit production issues and now it looks like we copied them. But in reality, like no one knew anyone was making it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But dude, I remember that time because you see the news, it's like, it's just a trail of cargo ships, containers that no one can get to. Everything's locked down. I didn't. You can't even imagine what's in there. You know, besides you guys, your shoes, there's just so many things that just got backed up. And
God knows, I mean, I think, probably stuff way more important than shoes, too. Like life or death stuff. Yeah. Like, but, God forbid someone's like, what if medicine's on there? And no one can just, like, take it off. You know what I mean?
Right?
I don't know if that goes through a special delivery process or what, but I'm just
like, but you would think like things that don't have a maybe need for refrigerant or anything of that nature is like, hey, if it can be sit around in weird temperatures, it's okay.
Yeah, just leave it out there.
Yeah, this is it's fine. But how refreshing was that phone call though? I guess not relieving. You're like, okay, you got the call, they're finally on, like they're finally unloaded. I mean, I guess better late than never.
For sure. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's out of our control, so it's, you gotta like just take it on the chin and keep moving. And you know, we did or try to do everything we could for the release and do like get all of our ducks in a row, and then we can't make the shoe show up at a certain time, so it's like, all right, like I can't, yeah, it's frustrating and you get like a little bummed, but you can't sit there and be mad at it because there was nothing anyone could do, you know.
Yeah.
Even New Balance, like it was kind of just like really bad timing on two fronts. I know I already told you the story, but so the listeners know, they were like switching their distribution center at the same time. And then, so they're moving, you know, a million and something shoes from one center to another. And then on top of, I don't know if our shoes were there at this point. I'm not sure exactly where they physically were whenever all this was happening, but they're dealing with that. And then on top of that, government shut down. They have like 10% of the workers working customs that normally work. So that's taking, you know, God knows, 2, 3, 4 times longer than it's supposed to.
Yeah, so man.
Like, even New Balance is like, we, and then New Balance employees aren't the ones moving the shoes. So it's like another business, like another company. So like, it's like, well, I called them and they said this, but that's all we really know. So it's like, no one really can like touch them, you know what I mean? It'd be different.
Yeah, it's like playing a telephone game. You're like, well, I heard this, but they told me this. I'm like trying to catch up with this. It's, you just can't win because, again, you're, if you're not physically out there moving it yourself, you're at the mercy of
what are you gonna do?
The logistics supply chain at that point.
Yeah. So you're just like, all right, I'm just gonna do what I can, and we're gonna hope for the best here.
But so, you know, if we even go back to the Voodoo, I mean, we can go back to what you guys did with the Crawfish SB Dunk. When you guys do these projects, which are really thought out, like if you guys haven't seen them, you have to go back again from the Nike SB Crawfish, which I remember that one. I love the, like the newspaper print inside of the insole. If you guys are from the South like we are, that's what you spread that newspaper across your table. You put all your crawfish there. It just really nods like that. And again, what they're doing with the Dead the Voodoo, what they're doing with the Mallard. How you guys being in Louisiana, again, South is a little different than some of the Meccas. Like, we went to, like, you know, Vegas, you go to New York, Los Angeles when it comes to sneakers. How's the reception in person when it comes to, like, releasing those shoes? You guys getting big crowds? You guys getting people, like, who are really, like, waiting there for them?
Yeah, it's honestly, like, really, like, I'm blown away each time. It's it's really, like, I don't know if humbling's the right word, but you're just, like, so grateful that, like, it's, like, hitting home, you know, because that's the whole, you know, being in sneakers, you know the deal, the whole point is to just tell a story. And the what we've realized, like, the one story we can tell just as good, better than anybody, is like the South and Southern culture and like stuff we grew up seeing and doing. So the crawfish dunk, that one actually came out before I started working here. It was a year before. I'm 2013. But I was in high school and I was like skating and obviously coming to the shop all the time still. But I didn't understand, like, even at that point, I grew up kind of in the sticks, like 30 minutes outside of Baton Rouge, like the country.
Oh, dang, okay.
So like sneakers were kind of new. Like, I didn't understand like why people. I remember asking Ronnie, the guy who started the shop. I would look on the Instagram and like all the pictures of dunks would get all these comments. But it would be just, like, a regular... Like, the one in particular was, like, a Valentine's Day, probably, like, 2013, 2014 SB. And it's just standard color blocking, white and red. And then I'd, like, read the comments, and everyone's like, God, these are crazy, these are crazy. I don't understand. Like, it's just red and white. So, like, it didn't, like, compute with me until I started, like, skating more. Because it's, like, sneakers are a big part in skate culture, kind of in a different way. But it's still, you know, focal point. And I remember the day of the release for the crawfish. It was a Saturday. And so I'm thinking, oh, I'm just going to go stop in the shop and see how the boys are doing after the release. And I pull up and had to park at, like, there used to be a gas station across the street. Like, parking lot's way full. Had to park across the street, walk over, and there's a line, like, wrapped around the building. Yeah. And I just go to, like, go in. Because I'm, like, in my head, I'm, like, I'm not buying the shoe. I'm just coming,
just
like,
hanging out.
I'm coming, say what up to all my friends, and then I'm gonna leave. And Hunter, Hunter Hewlin, who actually was like a big, he designed it. He was working at the time. He's working the door. And I'm like, what up, Hunter? And he's like, what up, Dev? And I like go to go in. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm just coming, say what up. And he's like, Dev, look at this line. Like, I can't let you just pop in. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. My bad.
The riot would have been crazy.
Yeah, so I look, and everyone's just kind of looking at me blankly. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. I probably shouldn't do that. So I just, like, dapped him up and just went back in my car and left. But, all that to say, that like, the crowd for that was nuts. And that was, like, before sneakers are what they are today, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, SB's been around and crushing for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, drawing crowds like that. But that was, like, my first taste of it, where I was like, oh, okay, this is so much bigger than I realized. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the Voodoo one, that one we were a little nervous because whenever we designed the shoe, the 440 was the New Balance numeric model that we were selling the most of. Yeah. So that's why we're like, oh, let's do it on this. We'll build the deck, pitch it around this shoe. But then, like, all the production issues, and it got pushed back, you know, a year and a half or so. Well, by the time the shoe comes out, it's, like, not – that shoe, the inline stuff is, like, not really performing as well. The inline 440s, I should say. Numeric was still doing great, but, like, that shoe in particular had slowed down a lot. And so we were like, dude, God, are people going to, like, think this is stupid because the shoe, they're not going to care about the, like, silhouette? Like, you're just nervous because – you know, you spend a year, sometimes longer, and, like, the only people that see it are me, Jalen, our employees, and then the two New Balance designers. And so, like, of course, all, you know, six, seven of us are like, oh, this is sick. But you don't get any, like, outside feedback. So whenever it's time for it to come out, you're always a little nervous. Like, oh, God, how's everyone going to receive this, you know?
Yeah.
But it was great. We had people... We did a pop-up event, like, built out a different space across town. And we had, like, I think that one we did the – I'm trying to think of the timeline. So we opened the store for half the day and then the release was at like 6 p.m. or something at the pop-up.
Yeah.
But we had a line starting at like 2 p.m. or something.
Oh, dang.
On like a Friday. And I was like, oh, damn, cool. This is going to do well. This is going to do well. So it did super well. We had, you know, we sold, I forgot how many. We only did 500 of that shoe.
Oh, okay.
So that one was like way more limited. We sold definitely majority, but we had some pulled for online as well. And then when we released them online, they sold out in just like five like minutes, that. Which was sick. Yeah. Which was also a learning curve because I wasn't prepared. I didn't know how to handle, like, I run the website and stuff, so I didn't,
okay.
I thought I knew how to handle like a busy website day, but it was like so much at once that like a lot of them oversold. So I had to like write emails and refund and like apologize to, you know, 50 people probably. And I'm just like, dude,
yeah,
this,
dang.
It's like the longest day ever. But yeah, it was super good. And people, I kind of drug out the answer to your question, but
no, that's perfect. Like, I love it.
But all that to say, like, the people that live here take a lot of pride in being from here. I think in the South in general.
Oh yeah.
Like you, I really think we like grow up tougher just because of like hurricanes and like,
God.
I don't know. I just think like it's just a little grittier down here. So whenever the South gets some shine, people really take pride in it and like want to show up and support, you know?
That's awesome. I think more, I mean, I know places like Atlanta will get like some shine in Miami, you know, in the South, but places like we're in, like in, like surprisingly enough, I live in Houston now, but and they're getting the Jordan 11 here this coming weekend, but I feel like just this side of the South, like anything at Atlanta or west of Atlanta is just kind of like, oh, we throw something every so often, and I think you're right. It's like definitely people take pride in it, so when those things do happen, it's like, oh, let's really, like,
yeah,
let's
people
really
show
jump
up
on that and support
it's
it.
It's really
yeah,
cool.
Show up. Because I grew up in Beaumont, so I can literally throw a rock at Charles for where I grew up.
Yep.
And there wasn't a lot of, like, skate culture there. It wasn't a lot of sneaker culture. Of course, you know, they released Jordans, Air Maxes. People would, you know, buy them. But it was one of those things I kind of dove into, like, early age, probably what they call it, middle school. I mean, I love skateboarding. Absolutely freaking terrible at it, but I love it. And sneakers, like, I didn't... Yeah, I mean, I keep trying. Like, my son's trying. I'm like, all right, I'll get back on the board.
That's sick. Oh. I saw that video. That was rad.
I mean, I'm on the ground a lot of times, but I'll keep going.
That part don't go away. I've been doing it
for a
long time.
That part does not go away. It's like, oh, I still fall. It's cool, but we could keep popping up. But
that's it.
But it was my introduction to, like, skate-style sneakers. I was like, of course, you like the Journeys and, like, the DCs and stuff like that. But it's like, about that 05, 06 era, like, in my later years of high school, like, my junior, going into senior year, that's when I started seeing more SBs. Now, did we get any of them? Absolutely not. But it was just cool to be introduced. And like you talk about, you know, going when people had the ability to get them, it was definitely packing the house. And I see more of them now. I mean, it's more accessible now. There's more skate shops here in this area. But it's cool to see people embracing that skate culture and how it really just intertwines with sneaker culture so well. And again, even in the South, it's not as well represented. I think it has... definitely a staple in fashion and culture here. That was really cool.
Yeah, definitely. It's like in the obviously like it's so big now, but even like a few years ago before like StockX and everyone like everyone knows every cool sneaker that comes
out.
Oh
yeah, there's nothing secret anymore.
Right, which is fine. Like it's cool. Yeah. Like I know some like I could understand if you were into it for a long time how that could be a little annoying, but like ultimately I think it's a good thing. Like it comes with good and bad, obviously, but whenever stuff gets big like this, it's more resources, and unfortunately a lot of it revolves around money, but like there's more money for people like stores like us, smaller stores like us, to get opportunity to do something cool. So like I get why, like, if you've been in this, you know, for 20 years, why you're like, oh, this is so annoying, I can't get the shoes I want, like I get it, but I'm like, this kind of helps us because like now it makes it make sense for the little guys to get, you know, some shine and get a chance to do something cool.
Yeah, 100% agree, because still our stores, like our number of stores and number of allotment that, you know, again, down in areas we're in, is nothing compared to the bigger cities out there. So it's really cool to have, again, that ability to do it. So whether it is, you know, what I can't get to the store, there's a bigger online presence, like, you know, you're dealing with the website. I'm sure you've seen from... you know, a couple years ago, even just 5 years ago to now, there's even a larger online presence because at one point we're all stuck in a house, so all we could do is buy stuff online. And then even, like you say, your different platforms, like your StockX's, Goats, eBay's, it gives people the ability to enjoy that particular culture without having to feel left out because they don't have the infrastructure around them who can produce these products, which I think is cool.
Right.
Everyone should be able to have a chance.
Like, it is, like, at the end of the day, I think it's cool. Like, there's so many people, I'm sure, that are from, like, I don't want to throw no... I'm going to pick something random, but, like, no shade of, you know, somewhere in Idaho. Some there people love shoes, but, like, there's no sneaker store anywhere around them, so, like, the internet is the only place you can, you know, have access to it. So, like, there is obviously cons to people who, you know, OGs in the game and stuff, but, like, I think the pros ultimately outweigh... It just, like, the game has changed. So, like...
Yeah.
It's hard to fight it at a certain level, you know? It's like, all right, it is what it is. You got to figure out how to, like, adapt and, like, do it your way to where it makes sense.
Yeah. And I think it definitely was a learning curve because, I mean, at one point, it was either you had to be in a store, know somebody to get the shoe. It evolved to the websites, and then people had bots to get as many as I can. I'm sure people still use them, but I feel like we got to a point of balance. I don't know, that can be economy-driven because people aren't going as crazy for sneakers anymore. Like, you still have the true... like lovers of that culture involved in it, but I feel like we balanced out to where if you truly do want it, you're not gonna get everything, but if you truly do want it, if you put in a little legwork, I feel like you have a better chance now.
I agree.
Than again 4 or 5 years ago when people were just eating up everything. Now it's really I think come to a more level playing field. Well,
right, and I think most of that like 3 or 4 years ago was very like resale market driven.
100%.
Even just what we would see in store, like the attitudes and the people, like entitlement, and you start thinking and you're like the only reason, like, they're just, and people would say it, like they would say it without like telling themselves, without realizing it, but it's like, okay, they're pissed off because they can't buy this shoe right now for $150 that they know they can sell for $400. Like, that's the only reason they're mad. They don't care about this product. They're just mad because they feel like I took $450 away from them. It's like, I didn't do it. Like,
did you guys get a lot of that in like during like the that kind of resurgence of SB? Like, with I see like the Horitos jacket behind you that made me think of that. Yeah. Like, did you guys get a lot of resellers trying to like multiple pairs and things like that?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's like, it's hard. It's like, it's so weird because you like, you don't want to start just writing everyone off that comes in and think like, oh, they're just trying to resell. So like, obviously, like, you're respectful to everyone, and but, you know, the more times than not, the people that get aggressive and get mad are the ones that are just trying to turn around and flip it. So they're mad that, like, they feel like you took money away from them. And it's like, dude, you don't think I want to have a shoe to sell you right now? Like, like, you're giving me money. Like, I'm a store. Like, I want
to
make
money. Let's transact. I'm trying to do it, but you're making me not want to at this point.
But also, it's like, I don't have it. Like, I physically do not have it.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't. And so, like, it's just stuff where they just, people would get so worked up and just like, you know, just typical human emotion, I guess. And you're like, all right, well, at a certain point, like, I can't help you. So I don't know what to do. I can't get you the shoe. And they just storm out and you're like, all right, that was horrible. 10 minute experience, but on to the next one.
Well, I love that. Cause you get two different things there. You get the person who's like, I'm gonna be mad and I can't get it to flip it. But then you kind of get like the innocent parent that comes and is like, hey, my kid told me about this shoe. Do you have
that? One's always kind of that one's always kind of sad. Like, they're like, and it's funny, they'll like show you the StockX screen. My friend wants this, and StockX is like $1,200. And you're like, look, I don't know how to, I'm gonna tell you this is, as nice as I can. If that shoe says $1,200 on that site, I do not have it in this store, I promise. There's hundreds of other people who came in before you to get it. No. Or try to get it.
Well, yeah, try to get it. Now, I've noticed something, and we talked about this as well when we met. Like, of course, you guys are still skate-centric. That's the bread and butter. That's the soul of the store. But you guys, again, you dive into the sneaker culture side of things as well. Really good mix, because you guys offer Jordan. You guys do like Air Max. You guys do a lot of different shoes to really, you know, bring that community together. The better question is, when did that start? Has it always been like that, or just something you guys found just kind of dealing with customers that people were looking for these things and it made sense at a certain point?
So a little bit of both. Okay. So it started off, I'll kind of give a backstory just for people listening that aren't familiar with the store. So True SB, I say SB, skateboarding, skate shop, you know, didn't get SB till I think like 08, 09. So like not even like when it first came out, it took a couple years for, because like Ronnie at the time, he's told me this story a million times, but he was kind of like, skate shops were kind of off put by SB, by Nike coming into skateboarding.
A lot of people.
So like people were super hesitant to get on board. And so he started getting them. And of course, like they had that first wave early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Well, then, you know, that was, he was getting like so few units. Like at this point, stores are getting like 12. Like,
oh, 12, dang.
Like 12 pair, you know, like, you know, size 8 through 12, that's what you get.
It's a single size run, like, that's it.
Yeah, so you don't really realize, like, it's hard to get, like, a real pulse of, like, how popular these things are. And this is, like, blog era, so it's still, you know, relative to now, like, extremely small community. But he kind of got a little, like, okay, shoes are a thing. Well, then he told me the one that, like, completely changed his perspective was Super Sky Tops.
Oh,
you remember those?
That was a time.
So, yeah. So we sold Supra at the time, of course.
Yeah.
You know, they were a skate brand, but Jay-Z wore them in the Umbrella music video.
Oh yeah, okay. I had to think back on that.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that off top either. But he was like, "Yeah, look, this is the music video I saw that made me realize, like, oh, there's more to this." And he's in the purple sky tops. And then once he wore that, they had dudes come and look for him. Hey, y'all have these Supra, like the super high top one, yada yada. And he's like, oh wow, there's like the sneaker world is a thing. So that, since then, that had to be like, God, I don't know, I could get this wrong, but like I feel like it's like early 2010s.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm trying to remember that. Out. Yeah.
So like, sounds about right. That customer got introduced to the store.
Yeah.
And whenever, you know, at that point, it's all word of mouth. So like, this guy was able to come get the shoes he was looking for, maybe put an outfit together. You know, he tells his homies, other shoe homies, like, yeah, I got it from this place, boom, boom, boom. So like, we started growing this customer base just organically of like sneaker heads, like lifestyle customer. So then it just kind of evolved that direction. And then in 2018, we were super lucky, super fortunate, and got an NSW account.
Okay.
So whenever we got NSW, that completely like changed our business. Like, you get Air Max on the wall and it's a whole different, like, customer base doesn't even feel like a big enough word to describe, like, the people interested in the product. That makes sense. Like, you start seeing like totally different walks of life than you would normally see whenever you start having that. So that started in 2018, and we just grew with, you know, that brand, and it was working and crushing. And then, of course, like 2020, 2021, everything's crushing. So we're always very, what's the word? We ask questions of like, hey, from the brands, like, hey, what do you see from us? Like, as a retailer, what would you like to see? We'd love to carry Jordan brand. You know, what's something how can we make it worth your while? And then they tell us like, okay, we'd like y'all to do XYZ. And we're like, all right, cool, we'll do our best. And then just kept doing that. And eventually the Jordan team. And at this point, I think once we got NSW, we were able to get New Balance Lifestyle.
Okay.
And then trying to think what other brands. I think that those two were the first ones. And then Jordan, so when you get approved for this, like, the team, they don't just open the door for a new account until like their team physically comes in there. So you have to have to get lucky, and like, they have to be passing through essentially, because it's like, why? Oh, they have no real reason to just come to your store if you're not an account, right?
Yeah,
so we got lucky. They were actually rolling with, we're homies with the people from politics, all those dudes over there.
Oh,
politics
yeah.
is from Louisiana too.
Yeah.
And so they were in town for a politics event. Politics dudes brought them up to the store. And yeah, they the whole Jordan team came and liked what they saw, I guess, and we got approved, and then that was 2022, I believe.
Okay.
2022 or 20... can't remember if it was 22 or 23, but... Okay. So we've had Jordan for, I think, going into our second or third, like, full year of booking it.
Okay.
And then once you get... Once we were able to get them, then, like, that... That legitimizes you to all the other lifestyle brands, because they're kind of the, like... They're the measuring stick, right? Nike. Like
they can do Nike. We want to jump in here, too.
Then when we say, hey, we want to do A6 lifestyle, they're like, oh, you carry that. Okay, it makes sense. But before, it's a little bit harder because they're like, why? How does this make sense? So that, like, getting the Nike umbrella on board and having their support, like, opened the door for other brands as well.
Dope. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I've always heard a little bit of kind of that inner working, but I didn't know it was that kind of chance that you had to get them in the store. I thought it was more like, hey, we're going to schedule a visit. We'll come down.
I mean, both times it happened for us, that's how it happened.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other instances for other people. Like, don't take... My word is not law. that was our experience.
It's like, your experience in a vacuum. We'll put that right there.
Yeah. So, like, both times for us, it was like we had to get fortunate enough for them to be, like, passing through, stop at the store.
Yeah.
And see, like, the vibe and see what we're doing for them to be down.
Yeah. Well, that's dope. That makes a lot of sense, though. And like I say, as business grow, as interests grow, that's a good way to get it, like I said, different walks of life into the door. Now, on the skate side of things, clearly you guys have probably your regulars or even, you know, new skaters know, you know, in that area to go see Ruckus. Do you guys ever, or have you ever done, or are you ever going to do a skate team?
Yeah, we have a skate team. It's, like, less formal than that, I would say. Like, but I, you know, I'm out there every weekend. Like, that's how I spend all my free time. So,
oh, dope.
You know, we're always filming, making videos. We're actually working on, like, a full length for the store right now. So, hopefully that'll come out. Man, this is embarrassing, embarrassing to admit, but we were trying to do it for fall of this year.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of the filmer, editor for all that stuff, and like,
okay,
it just's a lot going on. I hate making excuses, but like,
hey, life sometimes, man, you gotta let it go.
That release date just slowly gets keeping pushed back, but we're trying. We go film like every weekend, and we have like, you know, a good group of dudes that like rep the shop and stuff. But yeah, we definitely you know, keep it, I guess, like traditional skate shop in that sense. Like, we got guys, we got clips, we're out on the streets filming, you know.
That's dope, man. Do you guys ever run competitions out there?
Every now and then. We'll do, like, more... Lately, what we've been doing that's been really fun, people seem to enjoy, is, like, kind of just, like, a best trick jam. Like...
Okay.
Like, hey, we're going to grill burgers at the shop. I mean, not at the shop, at the park. We're going to do a $100 best trick on this obstacle, you know, on this random Friday. And, like, kind of, like, for a minute, and this is partially my fault, like, I was turned off of like doing kind of like makeshift events like that. I was in the mindset of like, oh, we need to do like a proper one every time. And then that just turns into like, well, we haven't done one in 6-8 months now, because it, like, you know, it takes time, resources to plan one and do it. So just the kind of like guerrilla style stuff and kind of gets people more stoked as well, I've learned. Like, it being like just quick and fun and like not the biggest commitment. Like, obviously we still have plans and want to do like big stuff, but we do like little like, we did our first call it coffee call, but we have like a street spot called Centroplex. We call it Centro. It's like a plaza spot, and we don't ever get kicked out of there for whatever reason. They don't care right now. So,
like, knock on wood, we're not gonna jinx it.
Knock on wood. So we just keep showing up and skating, and we've thrown like two events. I'm just like, all right, we're going to try it. And if they kick us out, we'll figure something else out. And we've, like, built obstacles that fit, like, on the stairs there. So me and my buddy Macklin, we, like, hold on, let me see if I could get a picture real quick.
Put up on my phone. That's awesome, though.
So we'll just, like, we just built this, like, ledge that fits on, like, we, like, went and traced the stairs onto the plywood and then, like, cut it to where it slides directly on there.
Right on it? Oh, that's okay. That's pretty dope. That's pretty dope.
So, like... This is hard to see, but, like, see how it, like, fits?
Oh, yeah. If you just showed me that picture, I would have thought that belonged there.
Exactly. That's what we were going for. Like, all right, we're gonna make it super nice.
Supposed to be there.
Yeah. So like, this is the.
Dude, you have a traveling skate park. You guys just loaded the U-Haul with a bunch of like interchangeable pieces. That's amazing.
And we're like, we're just gonna keep doing it until they tell us no. So that's we've dope. Done like two or three like activations with it where it's like, hey, we did one called Coffee Call. That's what I was talking about. And I have a homie Eric who owns a coffee shop in town, and he has a little coffee cart for pop ups. Yeah. And I was like, hey, you want to pull up and like we'll do a game of skate and like you can make some money. And it'll be fun. And he's like, yeah, I'm down. So we had probably like 50, 60 people show up on a random Sunday and just like just kind of barge it and have fun and hope for the best.
Dude, that's awesome. Man, I don't find myself in Louisiana terribly often, but when I do, I'm just going to make sure, I'm going to call you first. Like, is there an event? Because I'm going to make sure I come down. That's so awesome, man. Like, just to have, that's true community. Everyone, there's always this argument in like sneaker Twitter and things about real like sneaker and like community. I'm like, dude, this is like a pure example of like, this is a, we called a couple people, they called a couple people, we got to grill out, we brought stuff. That's how it should be. It doesn't have to be, like I said, this overly produced thing. Like, those are cool, of course, I could never knock that.
Right.
But you could just get the homies and get word of mouth going and just have something fun and memorable. Yeah. That's what people talk about. Like, for I remember sure. last week when that just happened, like.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, like, I was guilty of it myself because, like, I guess just comparison, like, comparing to like other events going on, you're like, oh, I want to do something like big and like this big grand event and like whatever. And it's just, then we did a couple that were just like seat of the pants, like, hey, everyone, like in the group chat, like everyone pull up this day. And people were like way more stoked, and I'm like, oh, this is just as like beneficial for everyone, you know?
Yeah.
And it's easier. And so like I said, obviously we still want to do, like, for the Ballard release, we're gonna do like a really like extensive build out at a separate location and like do this whole thing. So like that there's still a time and place for that scale of an event, right? But I've learned, or in my experience doing, you know, the skate stuff, and I'm sure it's like that with more sneaker culture leaning activations as well. Like, just given something for people to do and giving them an experience that was positive, like, that's the play. Like, not even a play. I don't want to make it sound like you're always trying to, like, do, but, like,
no, I know what you matters. Mean, though. That's the move. Like,
that's the move. Like, okay, cool. People had a good time. It was chill. Like, it was chill as far as, like, back-end work. You didn't have to commit thousands of dollars and hours of work into it, right? And, like, people were stoked. They had a good time, and then they remember it, and hopefully we do another one next month. Like,
and you guys get to enjoy it too. Because a lot of times you put on those big events, it's like you're there, you're putting on you know, the happy face for everybody, but you're like, I got a million things I got to do back over here and over here. This gives you a chance to actually enjoy and get to kind of lean in with your customers, with your supporters. I think that's really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, it was fun. We want to, like, we have more plans. We want to do more, like, in-store activations for more, like, the sneaker world leaning stuff. Kind of like folk, like, have kind of two avenues, you know, kind of hit both, but yeah, it's been fun. It's been super fun. But you said if you don't come to Louisiana that much, we're gonna do the I keep looking right here, I have the Mallard sample.
Don't worry, I got two screens, so I'm like always doing this. I'm like, I'm paying attention, I just get all the screens at once.
But we're doing, so we just got word that they got to the distribution center yesterday, the 18th. So the release as of now, fingers crossed, hard, but it's looking like 99% chance it's gonna be first weekend of December, probably December 6th.
Oh, dope. Okay.
So about 2 weeks, and a half weeks.
Awesome. That's awesome, man. I know, you know, if you guys hadn't seen them in hand or didn't get the chance to see them in hand, if you weren't at Complex, kind of gotta tell you, I got to hold a pair, dude. Of course, New Balance is always gonna make good materials, but when they do collaborations like this, that suede is amazing. The colors, just everything. I love, like, the pictures you guys did with, like, the, was it, like, the belt holding the ducks, like, the, yeah, with the sneakers. Yeah, I mean, everything just worked. I mean, again, you look at the decks they released, because you guys already released those decks, didn't you, those duck camo ones?
Yeah, so that one was kind of, we were trying to hold off until the release, but that's a shop deck, so, like, we try to keep shop decks on the wall at all time. So, because the release got pushed back, we we ran out of our other shop decks, and I was like, okay, we have to put these out now.
Just put them on the wall. It's fine. Yeah.
And we didn't want people to get tired of the camo, because we ran the camo like pretty hard for the project. So I'm like, I don't want to put these out too early, and people kind of get sick of seeing it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That was probably like my most liked story in a minute. So I was like, okay, cool. People like it. That's nice to know.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I think that resonated well with a lot of people. Even again, even if they're not familiar with like duck hunting or you know things like that, I think it's just a when we talk about themes, it's easy to go the easy route and just throw a couple colors on. But you guys really like. You look at that shoe. I see duck. I mean, I'm looking at a duck here. And it's perfect. Like you guys planned it perfectly. Of course, put it on in a model and using a brand with New Balance that is known for great materials. And of course, if New Balance, if people haven't noticed, New Balance does make a great skate shoe with their Numeric series.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all around, just big picture. I mean, the shirts you guys released at ComplexCon, I think were awesome, like that Duck Hunt style, like Mario Duck or Nintendo Duck Hunt. If you guys are wondering what I'm talking about, it all was put together great. I mean, and just seeing like as we were you know, kind of standing hanging out, just seeing people come ask you about the shoe, like that interest was so high.
Yeah, man, I was really
so many different people
surprised. Right, I was like blown away by the. Just the overall like positive perception of the booth and the project. Like you don't know, you know, like I was saying, whenever you're coming up with these ideas and doing these things, like it's your little team looking at it. Yeah. So of course, like once everyone gets on board, like, all right, cool, this is sick. But until you get there and like present it to the world, you don't know. So like we're setting up the booth and I'm like, oh God, here's where the nerves come in. Like the day before. But yeah, it was great. Like there was so many people that stopped by and just gave us like kind words about the booth or the project or like it's funny, we didn't like base the shoe at all on Duck Hunt video game, like that was not in the deck, it wasn't like part of the plans. But then you know as you start talking about things, you're like, oh yeah, I remember, like I remember having my mom bought me a version where like it projected onto the wall when I was a little kid.
Oh, that's dope.
And I was like, it kind of popped in my head, and then one of the other guys might have mentioned it or something. I was like, oh, dude, we got to just go find this Nintendo off of Facebook Marketplace and bring it with us. And that was, like, the biggest hit of the booth. People love the Duck
Hunt. Oh, people loved it, man. Like, every time I looked up, there was someone playing that game. It was like, dude, that was – people don't realize simple things can have the best impact sometimes. Like, it's awesome.
Right.
Like, they don't need something crazy all the time. Like, that hit of nostalgia. Like, I remember my dad having the game that's set up, and I remember playing it as a kid. It was like, dude, that's just – you have to stop and check it out.
Yeah, it was fun. It was cool. It was very, like, what's the word? Encouraging, I guess. Like, okay, cool, we were on the right path with this. Like, it's people are receiving it well. So even, like, obviously, like, the plan was to release it at ComplexCon early and then the following week. But even not having the pairs and just showing up there with pretty much just, like, a presentation, it was still worth it to me, I think, for both brands, for Ruckus and New Balance as well.
I think so, because, I mean, I know everybody wants to leave with something, but I think that kind of planting that release in someone's mind is like, again, it is they're excited about it, which gets you guys, like say, encouraged because, like, okay, good, I don't have to give them something for them to want to, like, hang out and want to know more about it. So I think that's a great temperature check to say, okay, this is what people are feeling about the brand as a whole. I think that was an awesome showing.
Thank you. It was a lot of work, but it was fun. It was the boys.
Like, oh, I can only imagine.
Everyone who we leaned on to like help make it happen came through clutch. Like all the boys that we brought with us to work, and
that's what's up.
Guys at the shop still holding it down. You know, it sucks you can't bring everyone. We wish you could shut the shop down for a weekend, but unfortunately can't. But yeah, it's definitely a group effort for sure. It's like it always takes a village. People don't really realize that, I think, but. It takes a village every time.
Heck yeah. Well, shoot, Devin, man, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the stories. I mean, I know myself, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I love hearing about just kind of the inner workings of like, shops and how you guys, you know, everyone sees the, you know, customer side of things, but, you know, to see how you guys deal with things, the, you know, the great times you have, the ways you guys have to adjust through different, you know, struggles and, you know, just, you know, it's always kind of having to maneuver. So it is awesome to get that, you know, get that perspective. I know myself, I'm sure a lot of people listening are definitely excited to hear that we got a 99% chance of the Mallory. We put that 1%, like, hey, we got 1% for error because we know how logistics are. But
yeah,
I think people are excited
sideways
about that
pretty
one,
quick.
But shoot, man, before we finish up, tell everybody how to find you guys on the socials, websites, all that great stuff.
Cool. So socials were Ruckus103, R-U-K-U-S 103. Website ruckus103.com, spelled the same. That's where we, you know, that's where you can see all the info first for anything we got coming up. But hate to plug the email list, but sometimes the email list gets a little heads up. So if you sign up on the website, sometimes we like to try to like look out for those people and let them have access or let them know before, you know, we post on Instagram and all that when stuff's coming out. So
that's dope.
So if you want to sign up, that's the way.
Boom. There you go. I like that. Hey, everybody's talking about they want early access. He's giving you free game right here. So go sign up. He's not hiding it. It's not a secret. Go sign up so you know all the good stuff happening at Ruckus. And if you're in that Louisiana area, Baton Rouge to be exact, right?
Yeah, so we have one store in Baton Rouge and then another one an hour west in Lafayette.
Lafayette, yep. Perfect. So if you guys are around that area, definitely tap in with Ruckus. Clearly, Devin's talking about some awesome events, an awesome event coming up with the Mallards. So you guys check it out. Definitely appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you for having me.
Have you back for another time, man. Have the whole crew on.
Dude, I'm super down. Come on.
All right.
Down. You just let me know.
Perfect. Well, hey, guys, make sure you go follow Devin. Make sure you follow Ruckus. And, of course, subscribe, like the podcast to keep us going, of course. Until next time, see ya.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.